This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
Now, the dire financial situation of the average employed South African is evident in a new report that shows that 63% are anxious about their finances, 87% are financially stressed, and 58% feel the impact on their physical and mental well-being. While 1 in 5 do not have access to medical aid, and 25% of them do not have any form of retirement savings. Working South Africans say that 46% of them struggle to meet their basic monthly needs. Now, these concerning stats are from the Sanlam 42nd Benchmark Report and paints a bleak picture of the state of retirement and medical aid, the access to that for South Africans. 1 in 5 consumers believe that they will not be able to retire at all, and another 42% said they felt a sense of insecurity or lack of control about their financial future. Joining us to unpack this data, these stats a little bit more, I'm joined by Lorraine Imigwa, the Managing Executive of Client Experience at Sanlam Corp. And of course, they would have been in charge of putting together this 42nd Benchmark Report. Lorraine, good evening. Thank you for your time.
Good evening, Nolutando. Thank you for having me.
Wonderful, Lorraine. I think maybe we can start off by, maybe I could express shock about the fact that this is a survey of people who work, who have jobs. We often speak about, what could be happening with people who are unemployed, but here we're seeing that even the unemployed are not faring too well.
Yeah, I think for me that was also the surprising part, because a lot of the time when you look at the stats, it's around the broader population that includes people who are not working. But when you're looking at such a large number of people that are working, and there's just such a dismal result around comfort around their finances, for me that was also the biggest takeaway, is that we're just generally under pressure, and that is broader than it's people that have jobs, that have businesses even, and you're seeing that under pressure. And I guess it just speaks to where we are as a country, which is not in a good place.
And where is that, Lorraine? I'm keen to find out from you. For instance, if people can't afford medical aid, I mean, when we were growing up, my mom was a nurse in occupational health, at least, but we had medical aid, and in the sense that I don't know if she afforded it comfortably, but she could afford it. I have peers with a master's degree, 2 master's degrees, who can't afford medical aid. So I'm wondering, what's also happened with the kinds of insurances, medical aid, even RAs, things that used to kind of be standard about 20, 30 odd years ago, that have become inaccessible to the working class.
So what happens when people are not able to afford this? Because in a lot of work, it becomes a condition of employment. So in a lot of jobs, people would rather spend little on it. So as an example, with retirement saving, they would save little rather than not save at all, because they don't have the option of not saving at all. So then obviously the implications are that you're still not able to take care of all of the needs that you have when you retire, because you did not save adequately. So when you get to the point where you need the money, it is not enough. So you're no longer able to live the kind of life that you want to live. And similarly with medical aid, those who are getting it as part of employment, they might maybe opt for lesser expensive options. And that's what we're seeing, is that as people have the option of moving down the line in terms of affordability, they do that. They go with the cheaper stuff. So that is also has its implications, because if you are not able to spend on some of the things that you can get from having medical aid, around preventative care, as an example, you're still pushing, the can down the road. You're still the things that you're not paying attention to by not going to the doctor when you have a problem, because maybe your plan doesn't allow you to afford that, you're still going to end up with a bigger problem in the future, because the preventative care part was not taken care of early enough in the process.
Now, I'm also very, I'll say shook is the word I'll use. I'll use slang and say I'm shook by the prospect of never retiring. I'm in my early 30s, and when I think of not retiring, I want to cry today. So I'm really thinking about that right now, Lorraine. Is it possible that people will just never be able to afford to retire? That there's is it a generational thing also where people will just have to literally work until they die?
That's very much a possibility, and this is definitely something that happens if you consider when you get to the age of 65 or 60, whenever you're intending on retiring and you don't have enough money, you're going to need to go out there and try to find work in your line of work. Maybe you'll be taking a bit more just work on the side when you would have rather been retiring. So that's essentially what we're seeing happen, and that's the trends as well elsewhere in the world, is when people are not able to retire, they just don't. They continue working because they need the money. And that is what is likely going to happen in the future, is that if people are not saving enough, then they just will end up not retiring.
So, Lorraine, is it a willingness or is it an affordability issue? Because one thing we do know in South Africa is that salaries haven't increased drastically, you know, over the last few years, for instance. Maybe if we can track it back to pre-COVID. But, you know, this is obviously a trend that has been growing even before we even knew what COVID-19 would actually ever be. So I'm wondering if it's because people can't afford, you know, to save for retirement specifically, or if people just don't think about that. They don't think that far ahead.
So there's a few things at play. It's I think affordability does come into play. There's a lot of things that are fighting for the little that we have as consumers. So you need to consider all these many things. Like you mentioned, that salaries are not growing as fast, but inflation has been quite high. So, you know, then you're needing to pay more for everything else. Then you have to think about what you need to drop. But I do also think that the retirement industry has a responsibility of making people aware of what they need to be doing in order to prepare for the future. Mm-hmm. And there's lots of things that they can do around financial education, around counseling members who are younger. So if you start working, someone needs to tell you that you need to actually put money away for you to realize that this is something that is important, because you might not necessarily come from a financial discipline and understand that. If someone is in place to tell you that this is what you need to do, you are more likely to act in a different way. So there's a lot that we can do as an industry to make sure that people are equipped to make the right decisions. But also there is the affordability issue that comes into play as well.
And then I must ask you about the two-pot system, because, and maybe you can give us a quick overview, Lorraine, of what it is, but also why this is casting doubt for working South Africans.
So two-pot system is proposed regulation that's supposed to go into effect next year, so in the 1st of March of 2024. So how it's supposed to work is, so currently we're putting our money away, right? All of it goes towards retirement. And if you are resigned from your job, some people do take that money away and just use it for whatever. They take that money, they withdraw it from the retirement fund and use it for whatever. But what two-pot is aiming to do is that as you contribute from next year, the contributions will, a third of it will go towards what we'll call a savings pot, and then two-thirds of it will go towards what we'll call a retirement pot. So if you are experiencing financial stress in your life and you need to access this third, with a third of the contributions are going, you would be able to access that in the future. Without having to leave your job, you can withdraw that. We're expecting that it will be at least once a year, but you will not be able to touch that two-third part. And the objective of the regulation is twofold, is to give people that access, because there's a realization that people are struggling and need that extra bit of money, and it doesn't make sense for them to not get the access to the money when they have all of these assets sitting there. So that's the first objective. And then the other objective is to actually force people to preserve. So that two-thirds that's sitting there, you can only access once you actually retire. So that will actually grow the amount of money that people are saving towards retirement. So it sounds, so part of the pushback that we've seen in the industry as an example is that, but if you're giving people the right to now take this money out, they will take too much money out. But the other two-thirds that's going there, being forced to preserve that money, means now you have a better chance of having a lot of retirement savings at the end of your career when you are going into retirement. So that's the one thing that I think has split people, is that these two objectives, sometimes people focus on one and not necessarily the other.
Well, Lorraine, thank you for your time this evening, unpacking this 42nd benchmark report from Sanlam. With us, a little bit of a bleaker picture than what I would have liked to hear this evening, but thank you for your time and insights.
Thank you, Nolutana. Have a good evening.
You too. That was Lorraine Miqua. She's the Managing Executive of Client Experience at Sanlam Corporate.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.